someone we've spoken to a lot over the years, because she keeps on making music. She can't help herself, you see, is Carly Lessing. Hello, Carly. How are you doing?
Hi, Janine. I'm well, thanks. And you?
Doing fine and fabulous. Thank you very much. So just in speaking to her, she says, yeah, no, first time she's voting there in Hermanus. And I'm thinking, Hermanus? When did the move happen?
So we moved sort of towards the end of COVID, so around September 2021. And my husband and I both work in consulting, and we were working from home. And we said, well, why are we sitting here working in Joburg? Let's go and try and see how it is to work from somewhere else. And so his parents have a holiday home here in Hermanus, and we came and tried it for a while, and then we just fell in love with the place, and this is now where we stay.
I guess so. We're not jealous and everything, just because we're very spiritually mature here in Gauteng, you see.
But you would just see it like you have a place to come and visit.
Oh, yeah, cheap visit place. No, that sounds awesome. But Anne, how are you enjoying it? What do you like about living there?
I love the nature. I love actually just walking out and seeing the sea, and, you know, even driving to school, I have a view. So whenever I get frustrated with traffic driving to school, I just call myself and I look out further to the mountains, and I think, what a fantastic privilege to be here and just see God's creation all around. And it's so inspiring. And I just love the change of pace as well. It's much smaller, so you don't sit in traffic as much as you do in Joburg and Pretoria.
So do you drive slower these days?
A lot slower, except when we're late for gymnastics and I have to drop my kids off.
I always giggle at the Cape Townians, like, full speed, 100. Yeah.
I can't relate.
So you actually live on the ocean, right next to the ocean, or do you have to walk a little bit to get there?
No, we have to walk a little bit. So we're about 5 minutes from the ocean.
So you can smell it.
That's close enough. I can smell it. When the wind blows from the ocean, I can smell it, which is fantastic.
And the music, because, I mean, you've always been someone who loves collaborating. As long as I've known you, it's something that you enjoy doing. Isn't it harder now that you're further from everyone?
So the other fantastic thing about COVID is that people started working online, and this actually opened a whole new world for me. During COVID, I started doing an online songwriting course that people ran out of the UK, and from there discovered various groups of songwriters who write online. So, and at the moment, I'm part of a group called Song Chasers. That's managed out of Nashville and headed up by a Grammy Award-winning producer and songwriter, Seth Mosley, out of Nashville. And he's got this whole community of Christian writers and artists as part of this community. And I regularly write with people from America, from people from Europe, over Zoom. And that's been just such a blessing for me, just meeting all of these people all over the world.
Okay, but you'll have to explain this now to me, because if you're not sitting in the same room, does someone go so far with a song and say, ooh, I'm stuck? Or how do you guys write together?
So we literally meet up on a Zoom call and we start chatting. And what happens so often, which is so amazing, you know, the Holy Spirit is international.
You don't say.
He works everywhere. And so often, you know, someone comes just with a song idea and it just completely matches what the other person was reading in the Bible that morning. Or someone has a melody that just came up just before the write. And it's such a Holy Spirit-led moment that everything just comes together in that moment. And it's been really such a blessing to be in those sessions and just to realize, so God actually prepared this song for us before we even walked into this room. Really amazing.
Okay, but I am now curious about something, because we're finding more and more that people believe weird stuff, or that they're not very biblical in their opinions or in what they put their faith in. Now you start having conversations with people, and it only comes out as you have these conversations, and then you're in the conversation, and then it's too late to start getting out of it, especially like you. Now you're in the songwriting process, and like I'm in radio, you're on the air and doing the interview, and then suddenly you find out, what do you do with these people, or how do you, are you all on the same page theologically as well, or is that sometimes a sticking point?
It can be interesting. I must say nowadays that I'm part of the Song Chasers community, I mainly write with Christian artists and songwriters, so we're a lot more on the same page. But when I started out doing that first course, it was a mainstream course, and it was so interesting writing with people who's got a, sometimes they have a hunger for spirituality, but they haven't put words to it yet. And it was so interesting how God would set up these appointments for me with people who, this one lady listened to Hillsong, and then she was also into New Age. And it was just this mixture. And she was just saying, like, she just feels drawn to my music. And I could really just witness there, and I could say, well, I truly believe it's the Holy Spirit that you are feeling. And, you know, I could just share my faith. And those were really, really interesting conversations. And you never know, you know, did you have an impact, you know, or did they start believing along the line? Because it takes some time sometimes for people to get to that point, but at least you have that impact, you know, and you can share your faith, which is always just such a privilege.
Okay, but that is nice and clean cut when it's someone who's not Christian. My irritation comes, or my I'm literally overwhelmed with this thing that I must think 30%, maybe 40% of the conversations that start out where people say, hallelujah, praise Jesus, I am led by the Spirit, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And then they start swearing in between, or or the opinions that they have is not scriptural. Christians in churches, and sometimes even in ministry, whose opinions do not reflect the word. Do you never come across that, or is it just us at radio stations? Because I thought, especially with the collaborating thing, you have to be on the same page theologically as well to be able to get a song done.
Very true. Very true. You get into those situations, and then you've just got to, I don't know, put the message or the song first and see if God wants to use that. And if it's very contradictory to what you believe, sometimes you've got to just say, well, look, I don't think we're going to agree on this. Can we either not put this part in the song, or if you feel very strongly about it, you know, you can go and finish the song. But, you know, that's just not the way I interpret this or the way I believe. So, yeah, you've got to sometimes just stand on your principles in some ways, you know. And
it's hard sometimes because we don't like conflict. I mean, peacemakers. We don't like, we'd rather sort of get the whole thing done, and then when they say goodbye, you fix it. But on radio, that doesn't work.
That's true.
But it's just something that I found to be a reality these days in conversations is weird opinions or scriptures that's being turned around. Like this past week, had a conversation with someone who works with people with marriages. And they take that scripture about what God puts together that no one puts asunder, and they turn it around. So they say that if a Christian marriage doesn't work out, that means, in other words, God didn't put them together. So now, exactly, and based on that, now suddenly we don't have to fight for this anymore. Oh, oops, God didn't do this one. And I'm thinking to myself, but I promise you, with a pure heart, with very earnest way of communicating that. And that's just one example of quite a few I've had in the past week. You know, Christians, stuff like a positive enforcement, standing in front of the mirror and to say, today's going to be a great day. Today, something wonderful is going to happen. Like positive thinking instead of godly thinking, where we have the same opinions as the world around us. But in music, you have people who are more free thinking sometimes getting together. But it seems that you don't really confronted with that kind of thing.
The few cases, like I said, where I wrote with someone where I felt like my viewpoint and theirs really wasn't the same, I just said, look, respectfully, this is not the way I understand it, and I would not like this to be part of the song. And if we can maybe try a different second verse, you know, that's at least it's not on the radio, at least it's somewhere in Zoom and you can still change it.
And are people offended when you do something like that?
I mean, I've had co-writes that didn't work out, and I just don't write with those people anymore because they're not a good fit. But that's the thing about collaboration. I think, obviously, in your case, it's difficult because you're on the radio and it's a live thing. But with collaboration, it's all about finding your tribe, you know, finding the people that really work well with you and that complement you. And I think that's so fantastic. I've found people who are really strong in the word. And maybe in a co-write when we're three, just had a co-write last week like that, where the one lady is really strong in the word and really knows the Bible. So whenever we, the rest of us, came up with an idea, she would say, okay, I think this is a good verse that speaks to that. And we would take that as a foundation. And I found that to be so, so valuable, because in songwriting, you get people who are good with music, you get different people who are good with lyrics, and then you just get these solid people who are so full of the word that it's just a blessing to have them there, especially when you're writing a worship song. You know, you've got to be so, so, you know, the stuff you say is sometimes people's theology if they sing it. You know, they might remember the worship song longer than they might remember the sermon.
Exactly.
So you've got such a responsibility, you know, to be accurate in the lyrics. And you get those people, they are so gifted in just discernment, you know, and knowing what's the right verse to use where. And it's fantastic if you find them, and then you just try and write with them more and more, because it just brings out fantastic songs that's you know, spirit-led, and I feel can really make a difference in people's lives.
And it does take humility, huh? It takes teachability for you and to be able to submit to the body of Christ, to not necessarily feel that your opinion is the only opinion. And if something doesn't agree, or someone says, okay, where is that in the word, to be willing to be tested and to be responsible to the people around you.
Yeah, no, that's what's so fantastic about this whole co-writing process, you know. And on the one hand, you've got to dare to suck. You know, you've got to dare and put your idea out there. Take the risk.
Dare to suck. Okay, I'm going to remember that one.
And on the other hand, you've just got to maybe realize that maybe your idea is not the best one in the room. And that the other idea is the better one that you should run with. And that's what I love about it. Like, every co-writer is different. The energy in the room is different because it's different people. And where a co-writer is really good is in the end, if you come out with a better song than you could have written on your own. And that's really the gold.
Yeah, and you also write songs that you don't actually sing yourself. So you just... you're only part of the songwriting process. Then someone else goes, records it, does their video and everything like that, and you just have this meaningful sigh of contentment listening to their music then.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, those are actually the biggest blessings. You know, if we've written a song together and it came from someone's, you know, vulnerability and sharing their story, and we've been able to put that testimony to music. So I wrote a song with a friend from America called Nicole Norton, and she went through a tough time with a family member that was diagnosed with a terminal illness. And it was a really, really tough time for them. And she could just give her testimony that, you know, God carried them through that time. And he just showed her to pray over this person, to say, don't give up. God is not done yet. And it was just such a fantastic testimony. And so last month she released the song, Don't You Dare Give Up. And it's just been so amazing to hear testimonies of people from all over the world that's contacting her and and telling her what the song is meaning to them, and to see how God is using this. And it was just, you know, a simple songwriting session over Zoom, but we didn't really know where this was going. And now God is using this song to encourage people. So, yeah, it's such a privilege.
Yeah, because, really, I mean, you know the heart, the brokenness, and the story behind the song. Someone else listened to the song on radio, and it does minister to them because God uses it his way. But you've got, yeah, like this inside heart scoop that to you, that song will never just be another song.
Yeah, no, it's so special. Every song, and that's true of every song you write, but when someone feels so strongly about a song that they go through the whole process of recording it and releasing it, you know, it takes a lot of faith and a lot of a lot of work to do that. So it's fantastic to see those songs go further, and really it means so much. So I love being a songwriter, and I would say my ultimate dream is to just do that every day, the whole day. But
no consulting or any job or anything like that. Just make music the whole time. Was it? Did you have to now find new studios, a new thing? Because, I mean, you've got to record the music now that you're down in the very far Hermanus and everything. Did you have to have a whole new network of people to help?
Yes, and also I have learned quite a bit about recording it myself. So part of the courses that I've done on songwriting also included production. So I've started doing a little bit of my own production. So the latest song I produced myself, I just gave it to someone to do the mixing and the mastering for me. So it's quite a journey. I have a microphone that I can use to record at home, and I record everything here. So yeah, that's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed growing in that, and I still use some of the musos up there. If I want some drums on a track, I call up Jason Moser to do a remote session.
Gotta love technology. Gotta love it.
You know, so that's fantastic. But yeah, it's so good these days that you can use a lot of sounds on your computer and just produce yourself.
And you can play as long as you want to, until you are happy at last. I mean, you can literally, there's no limitation at all, because you don't have to pay per hour.
Exactly. And you can try different versions of the song. So this latest song, For the Sake of My Soul, I have an upbeat version as well that I've done completely. It's completed. And then I played the song to someone, and they said, actually to Seth Mosley from Song Chasers, and he said, "You know what? I think this would be fantastic with just piano and vocal, because the lyrics mean so much."
Yeah.
And then I started from scratch, and I decided, oh, well, this guy's won Grammys, so I'm going to try this. So I started from scratch, and then did the whole piano arrangement like you hear it today. And so that was a lot of fun. So I had, because I produce myself, I can try different things, and it's really a lot of fun.
Okay, but you're a privileged, spoiled brat to have that for a mentor, to have someone who knows exactly what they're talking about, who knows what it takes to have a song make inroads and be heard in the first place. That is a privilege, isn't it?
It's a big privilege, and I've learned so much from mentors along the way. You know, it's just, I mean, Seth has produced and wrote a lot of the songs on for King and Country's latest album. So he really knows what he's talking about. And to be in a position where you can just join a community of people, and these people just give of their time back to songwriters and artists who are learning, it's been such a privilege. And look, I never thought I would even talk to someone from Nashville.
Being here in the Lord comes and surprises you.
Exactly. It's such, I mean, it's always been my dream to go to Nashville, but now I don't have to do it in person. Now I can jump on a Zoom call and I'm there.
Oh, it's like the second time I'm jealous today. That's amazing. Okay, tell me about this song, For the Sake of My Soul. Where does it come from?
So, For the Sake of My Soul comes actually from a very vulnerable place, I guess, like most songs do that mean a lot to one. So I was, after a long time of not releasing music, I was starting out again releasing music. And you know, that just brings you to, and also producing myself, and it brings you to a part of yourself that's a lot of insecurity, a lot of, is this good enough? Is this going to work? God, did I hear you right? Do I really have to do this again? You know, and sometimes you can get so caught up in everything that goes with it as an independent artist. You know, there's promotion on social media, and people tell you you've got to make videos, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. And I, at some point, I felt like it's just more and more and more the whole time. I need to post more on social media. I need to do this more, do that more, and you know. And then you post, and you go and check your post, and you see how many likes did you get, and it becomes this whirlpool of you almost get obsessed with it. And it brings in, you know, if you don't get the feedback you want, you get a lot of self-doubt around it. You feel like, what am I doing? Should I be doing this? And one morning I was just sitting and talking to God, and I while I was in my with my quiet time and reading my Bible, and I just said, well, I don't know if I should be doing this. I don't know if I'm good enough. And God just reminded me of my identity in Him. And my identity in Christ as being His child and being loved. And He just really told me, you know what? I chose you. You are already loved. You are already accepted. Why are you chasing this so much in all these different places? And I just, you know, it brought me to a standstill, and I just realized, you know, whenever I felt insecure, I was turning to social media, and I was turning to all these other things, adding to my list of to-dos to make me feel secure, like I was doing enough and I was good enough. I just kept on adding more and more things, and actually what I needed was less of that, not more of that, less of that, and taking that time, and rather going and sitting with God and listening to His voice and what He's saying and what His word for me at the time. So that's just really what the song is about, you know. And I think it can be for other people. It can be a lot of things that we just want more of, to feel like we belong, to feel like we are accepted. We just say yes to another school event where we're going to help out, or yes to, we often say yes to other things that we shouldn't be saying yes to, because it just fills up our life with so much distractions. And actually, all we need is to go and sit at God's feet and spend the time with Him.
People want to follow you. Where do they go to?
They can go to, I'm on Instagram. They can look for, my handle is carly.lessing on Instagram, or my website, www.carlylessing.co.za. And that's got all the links as well.
Okay, so let's not be masochistic. Let's go to the source of life in abundance. The song's called For the Sake of My Soul, Carly Lessing, and this is what it sounds like.